Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. Yesterday, I said this was going to be a great show, and there's a lot of pressure on our first guest here to make it a great show. Our second guest, Bishop Joseph Strickland, the second hour, we're going to talk about his new book called Light and Leaven. It's coming out very shortly. He's an extraordinary man, Bishop Strickland. And if you got calls, you want to ask him about the book, you want to ask him about the role of the laity in the modern world, about how we can all respond to the various crises in our world, that second hour is for you. First, can you hear me now? Can you
hear
me? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Our first guest, I actually have to behave myself when Rose Sweet is here because I start having fun and just because I'm having fun doesn't mean the listener's having fun, so I have to behave myself when Rose is here.
No, you don't.
You don't? I don't? All right. Yep. I have permission from Rose. Rose is certified life and relationship coach, Rose Sweet. That's what I call her now. She's a leading expert in the pastoral issues around separation, divorce, Catholic annulment, remarriage, blended families, all that stuff. And she's in the midst of a series of books for TAN Books. And the newest one is about to come out, or is it out now?
In November.
In November, it'll be out. The Catholic Woman's Guide to Relationships. It follows the Catholic Woman's Guide to Happiness, the Catholic Woman's Guide to Romance, and then the fourth book will be the Catholic Woman's Guide to
Temperaments.
Oh, I thought it was going to be astrophysics.
No, but, I'm surprised that you remembered the first two. That's really good. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, you're very important to me, Rose.
And
to all of us here at Catholic Answers.
I didn't bring donuts this time.
No. But remember the time you brought candy?
Yeah.
And I ate it and then I couldn't talk.
I got
stuck in my throat. Oh, it was horrible.
I do remember that.
So I was kind of hoping you wouldn't bring food today. Okay. So today... Well, first of all, you want to say something about the book that's coming out or anything about the series of books for TAN Books before we start talking about The Marriage Bond, which is our topic in the first hour. And people can call and ask you questions about marriage at 888-318-7884. What would you like to say about this series of books you're doing for TAN Books?
Well, thank you. I am a combination of lightheartedness, as we know, but also we go quickly into depth. As Catholics, we have a lot to be thankful for and a lot to appreciate in our faith.
Yeah.
So my books start out fun and light and easy, but they go deep. There's a lot of profound and beautiful, inspiring things in there. So thank you for mentioning. They're good. I like to read them. If you can read your own books and be happy, that's pretty good.
Right. And the other thing I like about them is that TAN Books made them like a little treat. They're just such nice, beautiful little. I love when a publisher does that with a book. Don't just put out a book. Make it look nice and feel nice in your hands and all that.
No, they're pretty. They're like little gifts. Yeah.
Husbands, you should give these to your wife, right? Don't you think so?
Absolutely.
They make beautiful gifts.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Catholic Woman's Guide to Happiness, Catholic Woman's Guide to Romance, and then coming out in November, Catholic Woman's Guide to Relationships, and then probably in 2021, Catholic Woman's Guide to Astrophysics. 888-318-7884. What?
I flunked in physics.
Oh, all right. We won't be that then.
Okay.
Catholic women in the news like crazy because of the judge, Amy Coney Barrett.
You're right.
But I don't feel like – I feel like
– No, wait a minute.
Yeah.
We were not going to talk about politics.
No, I'm not going to talk about politics at all. No, believe me.
We're talking about women.
No, I'm just going to say I think that when people see this judge who's up to be a justice, they think – like that's, for many people, that's like the first time they're getting a look at that. But as you and I know, there's Catholic women that are just like so intelligent and free and liberated, and they're moms, some and some not moms. But like this, I feel like you're getting a look at something that we see all the time here at Catholic Answers. Like this is just the first time you've seen it on CNN.
No, that's very true. There's a lot of myths out there about Catholicism, and that's one of the reasons I love being on this program is you dispel a lot of those myths. And we have a lot of good news to share.
Yeah, I think that's right.
When we're grounded in our faith, we are free. We are free to be silly, to be a scientist, to be a Supreme Court justice.
Yeah, right.
That's good news.
It is good news. It is good news. And it's... I'm not saying I don't know anything about her as a judge. Like, I don't know. That's not my thing to know. I just love to see that image of our fellow Catholic really kind of demonstrating this is a good thing. Like, the Catholic faith is really good and wholesome and healthy. And all right, so we're going to talk about The Marriage Bond a bit today.
That sounds great, because as you know, I sent you four little key points that I think are worthy of remembering about what the church teaches about the marriage bond.
Because the church teaches, this is another thing, the church teaching on marriage is beautiful and liberating and wholesome, and people who embrace it end up having weird results, like they're happy, you know, like strange, weird things happen. Like, oh, this is how you're supposed to do it to be happy. So let's talk about the marriage bond a little bit. Do you want me to go over the 4 points?
Yeah, you go over the four
points. Oh, I get to say the points.
You get to say
point
the points.
Point number one, we can have deep, lasting, intimate bonds that are not marriage bonds.
Okay, well, let's talk about that.
Okay.
Okay, the marriage bond is something completely different than other human bonds.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
So remember Saul had a son, Jonathan, and Jonathan and David were
buddies,
best buds.
Yeah.
They loved each other so right. intently. They made an oath to each other of fidelity and love till death.
Right.
That was a powerful bond, but it wasn't a marriage bond. That marriage bond really requires something different than intense friendship, although yeah. hopefully every marriage does have that element of intense friendship. But I think about the culture today, let's take an average guy and an average girl, and they start dating, and they realize they both grew up in the same town. So they have a historical bond.
Yes.
Then they come from the same circles, or they both went to the same college. They have an educational bond.
Yeah, right.
Right. Then they start going to church together, and they start to form a spiritual bond.
Yeah.
Right? And then...
I like how this is shaping up.
I know. It's sounding pretty good, right?
Right.
And then they find out they have a whole set of friends, and they have a social bond. So all these bonds are starting to form. And then they get romantic. He finally kisses her or something like that. Then here comes the romantic bond, mm-hmm. but that's still not a marriage bond. It's a romantic bond.
Yes.
God forbid they end up in bed together like so many people do, and then they would have a sexual bond, and that's an intimate, powerful bond, but it is not a marriage bond.
You're only saying God forbid because that you never said marriage in here. They never got married.
No, they
yeah,
haven't.
Yeah, because it's not a God forbid if they get married, but...
No. God yeah, forbid right. Because yeah. we know as Catholics, the marital act is the expression of wedding vows. It's saying what you said at the altar.
Right, with your body.
With your body.
Yeah.
And that's a beautiful way to remember it. So now let's say she gets pregnant. Now they're parents together. And they have this bond will actually last throughout all eternity. You can't right. unbe a parent from somebody.
Right.
So now they have all these powerful bonds, including a parental bond. But they don't have a marriage bond. But hang on. So they decide to do the right thing, quote unquote, and they move in together, and now they have a legal bond, a financial bond, a mortgage bond.
Wow. Maybe some savings bonds. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay, that was funny.
All right.
Okay.
Ahead. Well, it's all right.
Let me ask you, do they have a marriage bond?
No, still no marriage bond.
Right. So I think now we can start to understand that it can look like marriage, feel like marriage, act like marriage.
Right.
And it's not authentic marriage as the church understands.
So tell me about the marriage bond then.
Well, that's...
Or do I have to go to point number two?
You have to go to number two.
All right. Point number two. The church teaches what must be present for a valid marriage bond to come into being.
So the church teaches that when they stand at the altar with the priest as the witness, that they give an oath. They make an oath to each other. And this is what has to be in that oath for, in the invisible realm, a marriage bond to come into existence. First and foremost, that oath has to look like the way that Jesus loves his bride.
Ah, yeah. Okay.
And that is, they freely enter into that marriage. They don't have a dad with a shotgun.
Right.
She's not pregnant and scared for her, you know, right. for her life, right? They don't have a really pushy mother. Mm-hmm. He's not looking for a green card.
Yeah.
They're not both so old and worried that, all their organs are drying up and they got to hurry up and have kids. So they're using each other to have kids. So there's no pressure. There's no agenda. It's they're freely entering into the relationship.
Okay. Like Jesus did with us. That nobody could have made him do that.
Right. There wasn't a pushy mother-in-law in that case.
Right.
Mary was the perfect mother-in-law, right? Okay, so it has to be free, it has to be full. They have to give all of themselves to each other, sexually, financially, every part of themselves that they are, they give into each other.
Like Jesus did for us.
He gave himself.
He didn't hold anything back.
Nothing, even his very life on the cross.
Right.
So free, full, and there has to be a pledge of fidelity. And it's not just sexual fidelity, but putting that other person first above all other human relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I work with a lot of people whose marriages did fall apart, and in the annulment process, I discover that they were still, in a certain sense, bonded and wed to a parent.
Oh yes, I'm sure that's
so
true.
So yeah. Emotionally tied to a parent that
right.
They got married, and they even maybe had sex and had a baby, but they were still calling their mother for 2 hours every day.
Yeah.
And mother called the shots in the marriage. So there's lots of different examples. I don't want to go off too far on it.
But that's what fidelity means.
Fidelity is right. It's not just sexual fidelity.
Okay.
And then openness to children, a fruitful interchange of love in all ways that's open to the gift of life. So we don't have a free, full, faithful, fruitful relationship with our brother or sister.
No.
Or our boss at work.
Mm-mm.
Or our cousin Mary. Those are powerful and wonderful relationships with deep bonds, but they're not marriage. And that's when I began to understand that, it just opened my eyes to that's how the church can come in and say, let's look at what happened to your failed marriage and go, whoa, something was really disordered from the beginning.
And that's point number three. There can be impediments to the forming of this bond.
That's right. Something that prevented that bond from coming into being. So one of the ways of saying it is, there may have been a wedding, but was there a marriage?
Yeah, right.
So the tuxedo, the white dress, the big party afterwards, but maybe no valid marriage bond came into existence when they exchanged consent, that is, I do.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the most common—
Even if the party was good.
Well, the party's a separate issue.
All right, okay, yeah.
Yeah, and again, they can feel married, but here's a
right. Feeling is this is not a matter of feelings.
That's right.
No,
and I hear this a lot in my work, is he had girlfriends on the side.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to be faithful to her in every other way. He wanted to take care of her and have kids and have a family, but he didn't want to give up his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Or if things got boring or she got pregnant and he needed to have sex, he wanted the freedom to go out and have a little here and there. And in his mind, maybe his dad did that, Uncle so-and-so did that,
and his
friends do it. So in his mind, he really, in a certain sense, doesn't think anything's wrong with it. So when he stood at the altar and said, I do promise to be faithful, guess what?
He didn't mean faithful in the proper way.
That's right. That's an impediment.
Mm-hmm.
And in a case like that, again, hypothetical with a lot of other issues, and sad for her because she may have meant every single one of those to the depths of her heart. But sadly, there's no marriage bond.
Again, our number is 888-318-7884. We're talking about the marriage bond today with Rose Sweet, who has more friends in this building than I do. I can tell you that. Everybody here loves Rose.
I came here an hour early just to hug everybody.
You got here before that. I even know about what you did for lunch today. So.
Ooh.
But I want to get to the fourth, but we have to do a very quick break, and we'll get to the fourth item on Rose's list of things we should know as Catholics about the marriage bond, and then we'll take calls. Lines are starting to fill up, so go ahead and dial if you have a question for Rose, 888-318-7884. Are you still Catholic if you're pro-choice? Are you still Catholic if you don't accept the Immaculate Conception? Just who gets to be called a Catholic? Father Sebastian Walsh joins us Wednesday on Catholic Answers Focus to give us a breakdown of who's out and who's in when it comes to the Catholic Church. And while we're making great episodes, on Monday we ask Father Hugh Barber about angels. If you haven't yet listened to Catholic Answers Focus, you'll find it for free wherever you get your podcasts, or watch on YouTube, or just visit us at CatholicAnswersFocus.com.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit MysticMonkCoffee.com. That's MysticMonkCoffee.com.
Hey Alexa, how many ways can I get EWTN?
You can get EWTN on television, via cable and satellite, on Apple TV, Roku, Amazon Fire, and Google Play. You can get EWTN radio in your car, on Sirius XM Channel 130, and on the go, on any mobile device with the EWTN app. And here's the best news. Now you can get EWTN's great programming on me.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. It feels like about a million years since we've been here together, Rose. I'm so glad you're here. Rose Sweet is our guest. You can find out all about Rose at rosesweet.com.
Hey, wait. What about my virtual conference?
Oh, I didn't mention your virtual conference, did I?
Yeah.
Okay, wait. I have a note here. Oh, man.
It's called After Divorce.
Yeah, but don't do it. Don't do it. So, dang it, I swear I had it here. Dr. Ray's going to be there. Father Dwight Longenecker will be there. Christopher West is going to be there. And you, Rose Sweet, will be there at the After Divorce virtual conference next week.
Yes, it's with smartcatholics.com, and that's where you can go to sign up. It's free.
Wait, there's a place called smartcatholics.com that I don't know of and I'm not a part of?
Well, not to be confused.
How was I kept out of this?
Not to be confused with just plain old catholic.com.
But, well, this is not plain old. Catholic.com is wonderful. But are you saying that I belong on catholic.com, but I don't belong on smartcatholic.com?
No, we'll make an exception for you.
Oh, you're lowering the standards for me. All right. We're talking about the marriage bond. And I love the way you're talking about it. And I don't, because in order to understand all the difficulties with marriage and all the objections people have to marriage, you got to talk about what is marriage. And the church has all this. So a lasting and intimate bond can exist outside of marriage. The marriage is a very special one.
Right.
There's certain things that have to be present for a marriage bond to come into being,
like
a husband and a wife, for example, and the intention to love each other as Christ loves the church. And then there can be impediments to that. You talked about that. But the fourth one is there are things that we parents can do to help our children grow up to be capable of a marriage bond.
Yeah, I get this question a lot. What can I do for my children? And I say, you know, make them make their bed every morning. Just those small acts of self-discipline. And anybody who's been married understands that you have to give up your own way and do something for the greater good. You have to be disciplined.
Right.
You have to have delayed gratification. You have to understand the meaning of sacrifice. So if we don't teach our children how to sacrifice and have delayed gratification, they're really going to struggle in marriage and in life in general.
Mm-hmm.
We have to instill virtue. The virtuous man or woman is a powerful person. And they know how to love. Who doesn't want to marry somebody like that?
Yeah.
We all want to marry somebody like that, but we're not quite sure that we want to be somebody like that because it takes a lot of work and we have to make our bed in the morning.
Yeah.
So
teach them the delayed gratification.
Yeah. Demand virtue. And you know, the word demand sets some people off today, but love has demands. Jesus made demands of us. Demands could be a good word. And as parents, we have the right and the responsibility to make demands of our children to be mature and to have an interior life. That's another thing. We really need to, marriage is great, but it's also hard. It's very difficult. And we need the powerful graces of God in it. And that's what an authentic marriage bond will do for us, is introduce those powerful graces so that we can love our spouse rightly.
That's real, too. That really works. I have to say, in Missy and I are married a little more than 25 years now. And every step of the way, if our relationship together got deeper with God, it became easier with one another. We were more capable at every step of the way. As long as we and not in necessarily ways you would expect. Things lightened that you didn't know how they lightened. Or it's true that the deeper you go together with the Lord in your marriage, the more capable you are of being married.
It's a great mystery.
It is a great mystery.
It's a beautiful mystery.
Yeah. And I don't want it to come across like I'm saying that only God can make you be capable of being married to my wife, because it's not like I'm...
Here we go. Here we go. But hang on. I know
she's
we got
listening because you're on.
We have a...
She doesn't listen just because I'm on, but if you're on,
I miss
listen.
Her. I miss
she's,
her.
Yeah, me too, right now.
Okay. So we have some good calls coming in, but I wanted to cover this point.
All right.
Only people who are baptized Christians can receive the sacramental graces of marriage.
Yeah.
Okay, that's sanctifying grace. But the church teaches, and we get this from scripture and tradition, that there's actual grace that even unbaptized people, two unbaptized people can enter marriage if they intend a free, full, faithful, fruitful marriage, that becomes a valid natural marriage, and that they may not have the sanctifying graces that come with a sacrament of marriage, but they have, God always gives everybody actual grace, which is drawing them always to himself into some kind of union
That's
with him.
Wonderful to think about.
It is.
Thank
so,
you.
So even natural marriages are opportunities for grace.
Shall we go to the phones?
Let's go.
All right. Anne-Marie in Billings, Montana, listening on KJCR. Anne-Marie, you are first up with Rose Sweet. Hi, Anne-Marie.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, wait, barely. Yeah, yeah. Give it another try. Okay.
Does that work?
Yeah, that works. Now, go ahead. Yes, with your question.
Okay, so it kind of goes with what you just commented on. I have a son who is marrying, but now he's Catholic, and she is not baptized. So we know it can't be a sacramental marriage, but he wants to do whatever he's supposed to so that it would, at least the church would look at it and say, okay, it's still valid. And but the thing is this little gal wants to be married outside, too, and I'm like, oh, boy. But anyway, so can you make that work?
Well, that's a great question, Anne-Marie. With the permission of the bishop, he can get a dispensation to marry this non-baptized person. And you're absolutely right. Even two unbaptized people, two atheists, I always say this, they can go to Las Vegas and get married in front of an Elvis impersonator, right? But as long as they intend and are able to give themselves freely, fully, faithfully, and fruitfully, that is a valid marriage. It's not a sacrament because both people have to be baptized for the sacramental graces to flow in. But it is valid, and they have actual graces. Does that help?
And can they get it blessed later in the church?
No, no. Here's the thing. You don't want to do something wrong and then try to go back and fix it. You do it right in the beginning. Like you just said, go to your parish and they will help you get the permission of the bishop to get a dispensation from the requirement that we, you know, marry a baptized person, marry within the church. So your parish will help you. There's a way to do it right from the very beginning so you don't have to go back and try to do it again.
But it is also true that if the bride in this case were to enter the church, there's no need to do anything. The marriage will become immediately a sacramental marriage.
Right. It will always be valid. And when she chooses to do that, it's like when she's baptized, all of a sudden she gets the big treasure chest of graces like we all do. And that marriage then becomes sacramental.
Does that answer what you needed, Anne-Marie?
Yes, thank you.
All right.
Awesome.
God bless you. Thank you. Let us go to Christine in Oklahoma, listening on 97.3 FM. Christine, your question for Rose Sweet.
I was wondering if people are seeing a trend nationally recently with an increase in divorces and annulments in sacramental faithful marriages. Because in our area in the last year, we have 5 couples who were very faithful Catholics using natural family planning. I mean, these are people with theology degrees that work in churches and higher institutions and at the archdiocesan level, who 5 of them have divorced, you know, that
we're open to children, that all those things, participate in the sacraments and daily mass, and half of them have, all of them have applied for annulments, half of them have received, or three of five have received them. Most, the majority have remained faithful since the divorce. A couple have started dating while waiting on the annulment process, two other faithful Catholics, and one has kind of still remained faithful, but then looked at kind of alternative lifestyles, without getting into too much detail.
So you want to know if this is more common, that people who otherwise look to be fully practicing Catholics are ending up divorced and even ending up with a declaration of nullity regarding their marriage? Is that what you'd like to ask?
And just this many, because we know that practicing Catholics who use natural family planning have a very low percentage of divorce.
Right. All right. Well, we have to Amy, I'm sorry about this. Oh, excuse me. This is Christine. I beg your pardon. We have to take a quick break, but Rose will answer your question when we come back right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
We're here for you. Call now. Catholic Answers Live.
If you spend any time on Twitter, Facebook, or mainstream media, you're probably familiar with the litany of slogans that skeptics employ to rescue you from the foolish belief that God exists. The constant onslaught seems to leave people with the idea that they have no alternative but to embrace atheism. How can a Christian respond? In One Less God Than You, John DeRosa breaks down 20 of the most common atheist challenges and shows you how to craft effective answers. Atheism is more aggressive and widespread than ever. Read One Less God Than You and prepare yourself to respond with the joyful truth that God is real. To get your copy of One Less God Than You, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
To many people, even many Christians, purgatory is a fantasy, or worse, a wicked lie invented by the church to make salvation complicated and keep people in fear. But I'm here to tell you that purgatory is fact, not fiction. The Bible supports it, Christians have historically believed in it, and it makes theological sense. In my new book, Purgatory is for Real, I provide the evidence and reasoning to help you understand this controversial doctrine and demonstrate how it's actually a joyful, hopeful reality, not something shadowy and mysterious, but a sign of God's love and mercy. To get your copy of Purgatory is for Real, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, second hour. Don't forget, Bishop Joseph Strickland from Tyler, Texas will be on. Bishop Strickland has become, quite renowned for his defense of the Catholic faith and for his robust defense of living the Catholic faith fully. As a matter of fact, he uses sometimes the phrase first century Catholics in a modern world. And he's got a brand new book coming out here at Catholic Answers Press. It's called Light and Leaven. You can get that over at shop.catholic.com. This hour, we have Rose Sweet with us, who we haven't had the chance to have on for quite a while, and we're talking about the marriage bond. And if you have questions about the marriage bond or the Catholic understanding of marriage, 888-318-7884 is our number. Currently on the line from Oklahoma is Christine, who was just kind of describing an epidemic of annulments going on there in her part of Oklahoma, and asking, is that becoming more common, that people who seem to have stable Catholic marriages ending up divorced and in some cases receiving the declaration of nullity?
Well, Christine, that's a great question. And one of the things that we cannot always depend on is statistics. I have learned that in my many years on this earth, that they're helpful in guiding us to a certain place, but we can't hang our hat on them all the time. So I I know that natural family planning helps to reduce the incidence of divorce, but it's not a guarantee. I also know that people who go to Mass and are lectors and run ministries and are even on Catholic radio can harbor deep, dark secrets that nobody knows about. Now, I am not condoning divorce. No, we know you. Your secrets are all public.
Okay. Okay. Scared me.
I'm not condoning divorce and remarriage and or I'm not pushing annulment on anybody, but the reality is we don't know. There's a scripture verse that says man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And I'm thinking of a case that I worked on where the man was very visibly Catholic and he was a sex addict. That has a lot of shame in it and a lot of guilt and fear, and nobody knew except his wife and the struggles that they had for many years. So I'm not saying this is the norm, but I'm saying we have to be careful when we look at other marriages falling apart. Don't be too quick to say what happened because we don't know. That being said, yes, there is such a spirit of evil right now in our culture and the pressure's on everybody. And with all this COVID stuff, the heat is on. And where if there's a crack in your marriage or in your even your work relationship or your parent-child relationship, this pressure that we're under now is going to cause people to make poor decisions. Not blaming it on that. We all have the grace of God to overcome sin. But I don't have the stats, but for this last year, I wish I did in the last 6 months. I know there's more depression. I've heard there's more verified account of suicide. So why wouldn't there be more divorce going on at the same time? I'm quite sure of it. So not to panic, not to judge, but to get on our knees and pray and ask God to give us the grace first. You know, for me and my marriage, for Cy, you and Missy and your marriage, that's where we can fight this horrible epidemic.
Okay, Christine.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. 888-318-7884, the number, Rose Sweet, our guest. And we're talking about the marriage bond today. If you have questions about marriage from the Catholic perspective, you're welcome to call. Amy's in Colorado. Next, listening on 1060 AM. Hello, Amy.
Hi, Amy. This is Amy.
Oh, hi, Amy.
So first, I want to say thank you for your ministry, Rose. I have been through your Surviving Divorce series as well as your book, Rebuilding After Divorce.
Thanks, Amy.
So my question is surrounding the annulment process and what I've learned in the last 2 years since my civil divorce was final. Is that I know where my heart was the day I said I do. And I think you were saying this a little bit earlier too, but you never know that other person side of it. And so while I thought he is a baptized Catholic and, you know, we got married in the church and everything, I've gone through all the annulment questions and I've done that work, but I'm really struggling to turn in the paperwork. Because he has no desire he's totally left the church and left all of his faith behind is living with that. So I'm trying to figure out when do I know? Is that a step that I need to take as the practicing Catholic? Or do I hold to my belief that I know what I signed up for when I got married?
Excellent questions. Thank you for this, because this is going to bless a lot of people who hear this, because, you know, there's a lot more people in this situation. First of all, you know, Amy, you are not required to seek an annulment. If you believe that your marriage was valid and you are content and obedient to live as a married woman apart from your husband the rest of your life, you know you can trust God to send you graces to have a happy, satisfying, wonderful life, although there's always be this sorrow there, right? But one of the things that I've learned is before you make an opinion and say, in my opinion, the marriage was blah, 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 don't just rely on your opinion. We need to rely on the church. Do some research, which it sounds like you have. Answer the questions. Go there in your mind, which thank you for doing that. If you have gone there and you've exhausted all that you can understand about the annulment, you don't need to file for one, but if he does, I would certainly encourage you to participate and to the best of your ability, answer the questions truthfully and fully, and just rest assured that God is going to bless you for that. You can defend your marriage bond if that's what you feel it needs to be done, and you should. You should. But let me add this too. Every marriage bond is presumed valid until the other party brings enough credible evidence to let the judges know that, yes, there was an impediment there and we can declare nullity. So you in the eyes of the church, you do still have a valid marriage bond. Does that make sense?
It does, yeah. And that's, I mean, I can see from going through the whole process and working with the deacon, I can see that, I mean, clearly that there are impediments to the marriage and from his side, and that, but that's, and the deacon and the church were, they're encouraging me to go ahead and file, not only for my sake, but for his, so that I can be released from that marriage that likely was not valid to begin with.
Well,
I'm struggling turning in that paperwork.
You know what? There's no rush. Here's the thing. There is a matter of charity sometimes in a case like that. And again, on the radio today, I don't know enough about your background of him and you. But I think that's a point well taken. There may be an act of charity in your filing for annulment. But again, you don't have to. And there is really no rush, it sounds like. So take a deep breath. Go back to your prayer chair. Call me for 15 free minutes chat anytime. I'd love to just encourage you in your walk. It sounds like you're taking the high path and you're doing the right thing. And you make me very proud of you for doing that. But there's no rush.
Thank you.
Thank you, Amy. God bless you. Thank you so much for the call. We're talking about the marriage bond today. Rose Sweet is our guest. There's a whole bunch of folks on the line, so that's why I keep moving quickly. Gil in New York is next. Hi, Gil.
Hi. Long time no haven't spoken. This is the blind gentleman that called years ago.
I know.
Remember me?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I want to ask a question. I want to tell you that I have the most wonderful girlfriend in the world, even though we had a misunderstanding a few days ago. And I just want to warn the people that it's very important that we have to be very careful with the words we say, because in Proverbs 18:21, it says that death and life are in the power of the tongue.
Amen.
And amen. So the other day I was telling my girlfriend, who's so kind to me, even though we had a problem, I said to her that someone that I know that loves our relationship, I forgot to say it exactly like that, is very happy for our relationship. Someone that I know that really cares about me and wants to see us married one day. And the person said to me, I hope someday I find a husband like you. And she was saying, because she likes the way that I treat my girlfriend. Well, my girlfriend misunderstood, because she gets a little bit envious. and she thought that I was saying
someone's trying to move in.
You know,
that's
that I was interested. Yeah, trying to say I'm interested in that person. No way. I told her name is Nancy. I told her I don't want nobody. If anyone is interested in me, I will not have nothing to do with them, because I love my Nancy and I want to spend the rest of my life with her. And we do get along great, but I really hurt her feelings. She went into a depression as a result of it. And right now, she doesn't really feel like talking because she's very hurt.
So you want to know how to patch this up? You want Rose to give you some help patching this up?
It's hard because she also has trouble breathing. She uses an oxygen machine to breathe, and I have the blindness and all of that stuff. And sometimes when you're going through, like, all these medical problems, it can make you more depressed because she's alone a lot. And, you know, and it's hard for her.
All right. All right. You know, Akil, I'm going to let Rose give you some help on this one.
Okay, Gil. So all you have to do is go to her kindly and sweetly and say, what can I do to help you right now? What can I do to be more sensitive to you right now? What can I do to love you right now? I don't know. Okay, but I'm here. And when you do figure it out, I would love to know, because I love you more than anything. Okay, thank you, honey. So just ask the question. She doesn't even need to answer it. Just hearing you say those words is going to mean a lot.
What do you think of Rose's skit Gail, does that make sense?
It sounds great. It sounds good. I like the word when she used the word sensitive, and being sensitive to her emotions, because women are, are more emotional. The Bible talks about.
Yeah, don't say that. Don't say that.
Don't say women
are more emotional.
I'm gonna get emotional right now.
Just say the part that Rose said, Gail. I'm sorry, we got to take a break. I liked how you played both parts in there. You played Gil and you played Nancy.
Well, because have to be both to help people out with those things.
I liked it. That was good. That was a good little skit.
God bless you, Gil.
Yeah, it's really nice to hear from you again, Gil, after all those years. I hope you will call again soon. But we have to take a quick break, and there are 1 million people on the phone. We'll come back and talk more about the marriage bond with Rose Sweet right after this.
Your questions, Catholic Answers, live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
St. John Paul II stated that, for the disciple of Christ, evangelization is a duty, an obligation of love. And the Catechism of the Catholic Church states that evangelization is necessary for salvation.
So we know we're called, but how do we do it?
St. Paul Street Evangelization can help. To learn more, contact us at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
EWTN, teaching the truth.
I had called in last spring about talking to my parents and I was going to convert to the church and how to talk to them. They were not happy at all, but I was confirmed to the church at the Easter Vigil service, and we really don't talk about the topic, but our relationship is still intact, so that's a good thing. Just wanted to say thank you, and I still listen every day because I always learn something new.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We're talking about the marriage bond. Marie, you entered a marriage bond this summer. I know a secret about you too. I know it. Yeah, I do. She's the one you went to lunch with today,
yes,
isn't she?
Yes, she is.
Yep. Already having problems in the marriage?
Yes, but I counseled her over a hamburger. So.
Sorry, Marie. I know you're not. I know you were just enjoying lunch with Rose. Let's see. Who is next? Carol in Northern Kentucky. You are next. Hang on, Carol. I got to get to the button. All right. Go ahead. Your question for Rose Sweet.
Hi.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, Carol.
Hello.
Hi, Carol.
Hi. How's everybody?
Very well.
Hi,
thank
Carol.
You.
So I have a question. Two Catholics, one is my daughter, and the other is her fiancé. They're getting married next fall, and they're both Catholic, but they're choosing not to get married in a Catholic church, but to marry at a venue with an ordained minister that they are very close to. My understanding is that it's not considered a sacramental marriage, but does the church recognize it still as a valid marriage?
No, Carol, she does not. We baptized Catholics have an obligation to marry in the Catholic manner, and that is in accordance with the teachings of the church, with a Catholic priest as a witness as we exchange our vows. So he is, or your daughter is stepping outside of her Catholic faith, whether as weak or immature as that faith is, she still has it by reason of her baptism. And she is saying, I don't need this. I can do this on my own. And it is not a valid marriage. It's not sacramental or valid. It's a valid civil marriage. And she may feel like being married. It may look like marriage, as we were talking about earlier. But inherently, there is no marriage. So what can you do as a heartbroken mom? You can pray. Just hold fast to your faith. Trust God. Give it time. Pray and sacrifice. And maybe someday her heart will be moved as God continues to send her actual graces as she comes back deeper into her relationship with him through the church. And they can have their marriage convalidated and brought to the level of a valid sacramental marriage.
That's what I thought. Okay. And I'm already doing the praying. And
okay.
Her fiance was born and raised Catholic as well. And the sad thing about it is they're both very, very spiritual kids. they got when they were in college, very involved in a student fellowship where they do. I mean, they're just great kids, very spiritual, very grounded, do a lot of studying of the Bible together and just.
That's good news, so Carol. Carol, that is good news because they're being drawn to the Lord. They're immersed in His Word. You know how many people in the Protestant who've left the Catholic Church have gotten deeper into Scripture and gone, uh-oh, this looks like the Catholic Church, and have come back. I'm excited to hear you say that. Don't give up hope. Be patient, and keep praying. And I'm going to pray, too.
Yeah, and I've already talked to our parish priest about it some. We're still kind of corresponding back and forth about it, and, you know, and I've asked for advice from him, and he's been very supportive in that. You know, I said, I don't want to burn bridges, and I have a great relationship with my daughter. I don't want to, you know, jeopardize that. And I have a good relationship with her fiancé, so I don't want to jeopardize that.
No, you don't.
And you know what? If you ever need some language in the future, on if the doors ever open in their hearts for you to move in and talk about this in a way that would speak to them biblically, I can help you. So stay in touch, and I will keep you guys in my prayers.
And you can always find Rose at rosesuite.com. Right. That's where everybody else finds her. And thank you, Carol. Thanks very much. I have to say, and we'll probably end up talking about this with Bishop Strickland in the next hour when we talk about his book about the laity, that we continue to have a catechesis problem where young Catholics, even who want to be close to Jesus, never get the message that the sacraments are the primary way to do that. They'd think the sacraments are like symbols or something. And I mean, mere symbols or something.
Right, right.
But they don't get that the Christian life is a sacramental life. Because I suppose it's, and if I may say it, we live in a predominantly Protestant culture where there's not a lot of support for the commitment to the sacraments that Jesus gave us. But they get to adulthood and they may know in the sense that somebody might have mentioned it to them, but they don't know it in the sense that they have a living relationship with the sacraments that Jesus gave them.
No, because you're right. They haven't been taught. And you can't just read theological language out of a book to young people or even old people. You have to hear it from the heart.
Yeah.
And it has to appeal to the common sense, to the intellect. And that's the beautiful thing I love about Catholicism. It does appeal to the emotions and the intellect.
Yeah.
It's a whole person faith. And we need more people. That's what I love about Catholic Answers. And again, a shout out to all you and this whole staff here is you make these deep truths come alive to people where something can quicken in them and they want more.
Yeah. That's the thing about these truths is they're like these treasures that it just seems like sometimes people have to wander away from the church. I mean, I did it in a way myself too, not entirely, but in a certain sense. So I'm not judging anybody, but you almost want to say, don't, you know?
Yeah.
Like it's right there in front of you,
yeah.
You know? That.
Yeah.
And, we can pray for them and that they will come to understand the importance of the sacraments and then.
But you know what? If they are falling in love with God through His Word, and are deep in scripture,
if they follow him, they'll get there.
They're going to get there.
Yeah, right. Let's go to Oklahoma City. Listening on Oklahoma Catholic Radio is Jillian. Jillian, your question for Rose Sweet.
Hi, Jillian. Hello. I am engaged to be married in a couple of months, and so I wanted to ask you about, like, how do you know when you're ready for marriage? I feel like I'm ready to marry my fiance, but I don't know if I'm particularly ready for marriage itself, if that makes sense. Like, I don't know. I'll leave it off there. I won't ramble. Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes total sense, Jillian. And you're not rambling. These are important questions to ask yourself and to talk about. First of all, I'm going to say something that most people don't say because they don't want to turn anybody off, but marriage is difficult. It's wonderful, 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 but it's also very difficult. So how did you take any pre-marriage courses or like a focus exam or anything at your local parish?
Yeah, we finished all of our like pre-cana stuff. We had to like take this sort of like compatibility test thing. Oh, what's it called? I don't remember.
Focus.
And no, okay. It wasn't that one, because I know that's the one that most people do.
Okay.
It was called Engaged Encounter. And then we had to like go and like review our test results with a counselor, and it went very well.
Okay, good. So is there a fear in you? Is there something that you haven't yet named that's making you still worried, or is it just a general hesitation?
Well, I think I'm worried because we're both like kind of just starting our like lives, like out in the world. Like I just got my first job out of college, and like we have enough money to like live on our own and everything. But I think what's worrying me is that we don't like have a lot of experience living on our own. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Here's the thing to remember. I say this to people all the time. The number one cause of problems in marriage, I don't care how long you've been married or who you are, the number one cause is, drum roll please, selfishness.
That was a terrible drum roll.
Selfishness.
Sorry.
Selfishness.
Oh, really?
Selfishness.
I thought you were going to say it was money.
No. Money, the problems with money are the symptom. That's a symptom conversation. But below that is selfishness. One person doesn't want to spend their money, or wants to spend the money, or is hoarding the money, or hiding the money. That's symptomatic of deep self-centered. I need and I want, and here's the other thing, I deserve. So I would say to both of you, why don't you make a little date night coming up and ask yourselves these questions. Are there some hidden things in me that say, I need, I want, and I deserve, and you better deliver, or I won't be happy. If you can uncover some of those, maybe you guys can have a really fruitful discussion in that regard.
And you sound awful ready to me, Jillian. I'm not the expert here,
this is exactly what I'm saying. Jillian, you sound sweet and wonderful, and we all want you to succeed. But guess what? There could be a big problem there. I mean, she's months away, and she's calling the radio.
Yeah.
That's why I asked.
Okay.
So, Jillian, listen to those inner nudgings that are like that you're worried about, and go there. Go there and take the Lord with you. Go there in prayer. Go get a wise and trusted counselor, somebody that you trust, and ask those questions. Don't be afraid.
What do you think, Jillian?
That sounds really good. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you for entrusting us with the call. I really appreciate it. I mean, I'm super pro-marriage because I think right now I'm super, super pro-marriage because Marie got married like a couple months ago, and you've never seen a person. She doesn't even walk on the ground.
She glows.
It's freaky.
She glows.
Her feet have not touched the ground since she got married.
At the restaurant at lunch today, we didn't even need a lamp because light was coming out of
her
face.
Right.
Yeah.
And she's not even the one who won in that bargain.
No, he's
the one who won.
He got a great deal.
Yeah, but so also I mean, and we have talked about this a bit before. This younger generation now, and you know, it's not. I know it's old people always talking about the younger generation, but it's a fact. They're afraid of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
They have a fear of
mm-hmm.
marriage,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes I'm just a little too anxious. Get over it. Get in. You know, don't be afraid of marriage. You can do it.
That's why. Men and women are different people. We make a good team, a good balance, because I'm going, well, hang on, because there might be a problem that we don't see. And you're going,
right. Oh,
let's just go. We actually need that perfect tension between those two.
Oh, yeah. All right.
So that's why kids need a mom and a dad.
Yeah, that's true. Jillian, get married. Come on. Just get married.
Well, hold on there, honey. Hold on there.
All right.
Get the financial statement first.
Get the financial statement.
What?
I'm not disagreeing. Like, yeah, but I...
I know. See?
All right, Rose, sweet. You're all right. I don't know why. We should just have you on weekly. Why does it take so long
to get
you?
I'm going to come back. I'm going to come back before the end of the year.
But you live out there in the desert.
I'll come out here.
And it's amazing you didn't melt this summer.
Oh, it was so hot.
Well, thanks, Rose. Appreciate it.
You can
find out all about Rose by going to rosesuite.com, and you really will enjoy. And if you're a husband or a boyfriend, your betrothed or beloved will love her books from Tan Books, Catholic Women's Guide to Happiness, Catholic Women's Guide to Romance, Catholic Women's Guide to Relationships. They're just like a little treat And what does it's like giving flowers, but flowers that have a book inside.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
No, they really are, though. All right. Bishop Joseph Strickland coming up next. If you thought this hour was good, that's going to be.
He's awesome.
Oh, look at you.
I love him. Love him.
Yeah, he's a good guy. And he's got a book coming out with Catholic Answers Press. Right back with your calls for Bishop Joseph Strickland right after this.